The following Bible study is presented by Terry Moore. And now, Mr. Moore.
In chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, we discussed the great whore, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, also known as a woman filled with the names of blasphemy. This woman represents a heretical church, but there is more to her than that. You see, she is also a blasphemous government and a false system of beliefs and traditions that have gone through various transformations down through the ages. She is known as Mystery Babylon, which references a mystery religion inspired by the devil that has existed even from ancient times. Now, because this is an organization that has prominent religious ties, Mystery Babylon is portrayed as a woman, and in this case, a harlot representing a false church that has had intimate relations with many kings and world leaders. She is the nemesis of God's true church, and she has been a source of persecution against God's faithful people for ages. She is responsible for atrocities such as the Crusades and the Spanish Inquisition. And because she has a structured form of government that includes an interchange of goods and currency and power, she is also portrayed as a city, as verse 18 of chapter 17 said, "The woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." A city symbolically pictures an organized society able to comfortably house and feed its occupants. It provides means for business and to function profitably and even accommodates the import and export of goods. And so Mystery Babylon functions in this same way. And for this reason, it is prophesied that those who do not have the mark of the beast will not be allowed to buy and sell. This whore has in fact controlled many national leaders in the past, and she has enormous influence even today. And we see this in the Vatican and the Catholic Church. And so Mystery Babylon, which is related to her, is a false system whose power will grow as the end draws near. In fact, this false system has more than one city, and like any empire, she also has a capital, which is the hub of activity influencing all parts of its body. Mystery Babylon has in fact existed for a long, long time in various forms, that is. And we're going to see that Revelation 18 speaks about the influence of this city and how many people benefit from its commerce. However, its merchandising is not simply food, clothing, and goods. You see, Mystery Babylon buys and sells iniquity. It markets wickedness throughout the earth. And for this reason, this city will have a great fall. And so the next chapter of Revelation begins by speaking of Babylon's divinely orchestrated collapse. In Revelation 18, and beginning in verse 1, "After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury.'" Here John saw an angel coming down to the earth from heaven. This angel has divine authority, and it was glorious to behold. And so some mistake this angel for Christ, and perhaps this is because Christ's description in Revelation chapter 1 relates luminous properties. Perhaps it's because Christ has great authority. However, this angel in the first verses of Revelation 18 is not Christ, for John would have surely known and made note of it. Having seen an image of the Savior previously, there would have been some kind of resemblance if this angel were Christ. Verses 2 and 3 repeat words that are proclaimed in chapter 14 and verse 8, but they give more detail here. They state that the fall of Babylon will shortly come to pass, and the reason is obvious. It's Mystery Babylon is a den of demonic activity, foul behavior, doctrines of devils, masquerading as though they were righteous. And so the place will be razed, and it's inhabited. It will come to only be inhabited by birds that would normally prey in desolate places. These scriptures we had just read also relate how this harlot has fornicated with all nations of the earth. And she has concocted a vile mixture of abominations and doctrines that the nations drank and became intoxicated on her false religion. Verse 4 of chapter 17 says that the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Now, it's easy today to see that her influence has spread far and wide, and we can see this in the various holidays that are celebrated around the world, such as Christmas and Easter and Halloween and Lent and Mardi Gras and all of these things. They can all be traced back to the mystery religion of Babylon. In fact, every false belief that exists today can be traced back to abominations that came from ancient Babylon and the mystery religion that was seated by the devil. Next, God gives his people another warning to not be swept up in her doctrines and therefore in her downfall. In verses 4 and 5 of chapter 18, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." These words reinforce the theme of God's people who live in this world, but are not to be of this world. And this concept is stated multiple times and relates the fact that although you and I, as Christians, true Christians, although we live on this planet, we are not to be partakers of its ways. Do not align ourselves with the ways of this world. In fact, we are to do the opposite. See, we separate the ways of the ungodly from ourselves. And in this way, we come out of the false systems that are not of God, but instead are related to Mystery Babylon. Now, if we don't come out of her in this way, God warns that it's possible for those he has called to experience the terrible plagues that will be poured out upon the mother of harlots and her children. Now, interestingly, the verses we had read previously in the first part of the chapter here, verses 2 and 3, they very much resemble chapter 14. And in verse 8, I'd stated this earlier, but look at this for a minute. Chapter 14 and verse 8 says, "Another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." And then if you look at verses 2 and 3 of chapter 18, it says that that an angel cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, "Babylon the great is fallen. And it's become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." And so we see right off the bat that these sound very much alike, but they are not two accounts of the same event in heaven. They are, in fact, separate events that simply use like words while describing Mystery Babylon and her destiny. It also says in verse 5 that her sins have reached unto heaven. And this does not mean that they are stacked so high that they go all the way up to God's throne. What it means is that her sins are numerous, and God is aware of all of them. He knows what she has done, and he will recount the evil when he unleashes his wrath upon her. In verses 6 through 8, this angel continued to say in verse 6, "Render to her just as she is rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow.' Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the eternal God who judges her. And so God will render unto her according to her works. Not only so, recompense shall be double for the evil she has done." Her holidays and her beliefs, they make people feel good about themselves, and they have an appearance of holiness with the enormous cathedrals and all of the robes and the gold and the jewelry and the chalices and everything that comes along with her religion. They make individuals feel as though they're a part of something lofty that will endure the test of time. However, their fall will come quickly, as these scriptures say. It states that her plagues will come in one day, though it is possible that this simply means that God's plagues will come quickly. What it likely refers to is the day/year principle of God's vengeance. This will be the final year of the Great Tribulation, which includes both the trumpet plagues and the bowl plagues. Let's go to Isaiah 34. If you have a ribbon, put it here in Revelation 18. Go over to Isaiah 34. We had discussed this thoroughly in previous Bible studies. The Great Tribulation lasts 3.5 years, but the final year of this tribulation is God's wrath, and this lasts for one full year. And this is the day for a year principle spoken of by Isaiah and also by Joel. And this fits perfectly with the symbolism used in the book of Revelation. You see, the whore has a cup full of abominations, and God will pour out his wrath in both trumpet and bowl plagues. And it says that God will remember her wickedness and render unto her double what she has done to others. And so the day of the eternal is also known as the day of his vengeance. And look at this in Isaiah 34 and in verse 8. It says, "For it is the day of the eternal's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion." And this is mentioning the day for a year principle that's filled. This day of God's wrath will be filled with terrible plagues that will affect the entire world, but it will be particularly harmful to those who have the mark of the beast and are related to this city known as Mystery Babylon. Interestingly, the end result of this wicked city is made known. Revelation 18:8 says that she will be utterly burned with fire. And if we look at the previous prophecy about this city in Isaiah in chapter 34 and in verses 9 and 10, it says its streams shall be turned into pitch, which is a very flammable liquid, and its dust into brimstone, and its land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall ascend forever or for an age. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. No one shall pass through it forever and ever, or from one age to the next age. Now, if we remember in Revelation 18 and verse 2, it said that the area will become a dwelling place of unclean birds that feed on dead and rotting flesh. Look at verse 11 here in this chapter by Isaiah. "But the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it." And these are two species of unclean birds. They're not the pelican and the porcupine that we know today. And it continues to say that the owl and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out over it the line of confusion, referring to ruins and rubble, and the stones of emptiness. And this is what will become of Babylon's headquarters. It will be burned up and become desolate from the end of this age unto the end of the next, when God finally creates a new heavens and a new earth. Back to Revelation 18. Next, we're going to read about the mourning that will take place when Babylon falls. In verses 9 and 10 of Revelation 18, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, they will say, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." The people of this great city, Babylon, will be destroyed through plagues, but the area itself will also be literally will become heaps of smoking, burning rubble. Those who profited from her merchandising will see what has become of her, and they will mourn because of their worldly dreams, their carnal pleasures. They will all be shattered, crushed, if you will. The collapse of that place will become the collapse of the world's economy, and all the riches that she had made for others will become worthless. Though the plagues of God may take a year, the fall of that city will come quickly, and it's described here as 1 hour. And if you take the day for a year prophetic principle and divide 24 hours found in one day, one literal day, if you divide this into God's 360-day prophetic year, 1 hour would be equivalent to 15 days. And so will the headquarters of Babylon be destroyed over a 15-day period? Well, we don't know for sure. This is only speculation, and I just mention it for those who may feel that the hour might indicate a specific period of time, but we don't have any biblical evidence that an hour does represent a number of days prophetically, but it still is yet possible. Continuing in verse 11, speaking of these people that are mourning because of her fall, "And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, and chariots, and even bodies and souls or lives of men." And this shows us, these words show us how rich the whore and her daughters had become. And it also tells us that these goods, all of these goods, will become worthless at this point, because when the nations see what God has done to that great city, they will realize that all the commodities on earth are meaningless if people do not have the fear of God in their lives. Now, the expression "great" when referring to this abominable city does not mean that it's wonderful, like what a great place to go to visit. You know, we use the word "great" today when saying, "Well, that's really great," as being something that's good. But the word "great" here simply means that it's large, it's mighty, it's powerful, it might be awesome to behold. It's a strong entity in the worldly sense. So powerful is that city that it even states her merchandise includes bodies, that is, souls or lives of men and women. And this means that the whore owns people. See, people have committed their lives to her. They owe her their lives, and they have even given their lives for her. And She also takes people's lives through slavery, through murder, and even assassination. And this has happened numerous times in the past because of the great whore, Mystery Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church, that powerful empire that has existed in various forms down through the ages, and it will continue unto the end of the age. Revelation 18 and verse 14 this time. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. And the good, so this shows us that the goods and the what that are the ideals that she markets, that secular people long for, those things, physical, even carnal pleasures, they will become worthless. They will lose all appeal after God's wrath comes. Her ways will become a way of the past, and it's going to be a hard pill for some people to swallow, to let go of those things. That's why so many people will mourn because of her fall. Verses 15 through 18 this time. The merchants of these things who become rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster and all who travel by ship, sailors and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?'" These people thought that she was invincible. Her power and her glory were wondrous to billions, and she appeared to be the way to eternal happiness. However, her ways are the way of death. And in fact, her fall was prophesied of previously by Jeremiah, who wrote this in Jeremiah 51 and verse 24. God said through the prophet, "I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Eternal. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain," mountain symbolizing a world of power or government. "I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth," says the Eternal, "and I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain." So Babylon, the empire of Babylon, it will become a burnt mountain, a scorched world power. Human nature's tainted dreams will be crushed when this occurs, and this will bring enormous sorrow to those who believe in her. Verse 19 of Revelation 18. These people mourning because of her, they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." Now it states here that all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. And this is referencing the industrialized nations who profit from her ways. Verse 1 of chapter 17 states that the whore sits on many waters, and verse 15 of chapter 17 reveals that waters symbolize people. And these are vessels, interestingly, on the sea. And also in verses 9 and 10 in chapter 18, it states that the kings of the earth will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance, it says. In verse 15 of chapter 18 states that the merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance, weeping and wailing. And so will the kings of the earth literally be standing a few miles away, watching a city burn from a cargo ship? You know, think about it. Do national leaders frequently travel on the oceans? No. Instead of seeing the city burn with their own eyes, I think most of them will see what is happening from their respective locations on the earth, you know, through the advent of television and the internet and smartphones and androids and social media and all of these things. The nations will witness the fall of Mystery Babylon the Great, but they'll all witness it from a different place on the earth. While the world mourns at that time, the host of heaven and God's faithful people will rejoice. Look at this in verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. This references angelic beings as well as the resurrected saints who will rejoice. And it states holy apostles and prophets, that God has avenged them on her. These are the saints who were persecuted and even murdered by this false church and by her, the spawn of her false religion, her various other false religions. It is those saints who will have held fast through thick and thin and were found worthy of becoming a part of the 144,000. Finally, in verses 21 through 24, the great entity known as Mystery Babylon will be completely destroyed. Verse 21, then a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down, and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters, shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman or of any craft shall be found in you any more, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more. The voice of a bridegroom and a bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her, speaking of Mystery Babylon, was found the blood of the prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth. Let's go to Jeremiah 51. Babylon is symbolic of a wretched system of rule that has existed since the time of Nimrod. She has fed her abominations to the nations for thousands of years. However, she has seen both rise and fall down through history. In one such fall, because Babylon existed in different empires that came and went, one such fall occurred around 535 BC when Persia conquered the Babylonian Empire. Now, Jeremiah prophesied of this ancient demise, but only in part. And as we read the next words here in this chapter, chapter 51, understand that they were not completely fulfilled during that time. Jeremiah 51, and beginning in verse 52, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, that I will bring judgment on her carved images, and throughout all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon were to mount up to heaven, and though she were to fortify the height of her strength, yet from me plunderers would come to her, says the Eternal. The sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Eternal is plundering Babylon and silencing her loud voice. Though her waves roar like great waters, and the noise of their voice is uttered, because the plunderer comes against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, every one of their bows is broken, for the Eternal is the God of recompense, and he will surely repay. And I will make drunk her princes and wise men, her governors, her deputies, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep, and not awake, says the King, whose name is the Eternal of Hosts. Thus says the Eternal of Hosts, in verse 58, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The people will labor in vain, and the nations because of the fire, they shall be weary, that is, weary from trying to put the fire out. And this is something that did occur, and this is shown in Habakkuk in chapter 2 and verse 13. The point is this prophecy was fulfilled, but only in part. You see, Babylon did not remain desolate forever. There has been both man and beast in its borders since this early destruction. Verses 63 and 64 of Jeremiah 51 say, "Now it shall be, when you have finished reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it into the Euphrates. And then you shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary." Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So Mystery Babylon has gone through various changes, both in regime and location. The ancient site of Babylon is in Iraq today, and it's quite parched and lacks the ability to support a large population. But people and animals do inhabit the area. And this is further evidence, I believe, that Jeremiah's prophecy has yet to be entirely fulfilled. Let's go to Ezekiel 28. There's another parallel between the rise and fall of an ancient city and the fall of the future Babylon. And this is regarding the ancient city of Tyre. And we're all very familiar with the concept of the king of Tyre being reflective of the devil. But in this prophecy, there's also a reflection to the devil's human instruments. Let's look at this in Ezekiel 28, and beginning in verse 12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the eternal God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you." And so this is obviously, this is common knowledge to people in the Church of God. This is a reflection of the devil. It's portraying the devil, because no human being has ever been created perfect in his ways, and nobody is as beautiful and talented as this description here. And so this is not speaking of a human king. These words have no place in describing any human king. Satan is the one who held the position as a covering cherub at the holy mountain of God, and he was the one that was in the garden of Eden, the garden of God, and wore precious stones, much like those that were in the high priest's breastplate. God continues to explain here how he will destroy Satan by fire. However, there is another destruction that will take place prior to Satan being destroyed by fire. It is the destruction of that false religious system that has inspired and led many people into false religion. And this goes right back to Mystery Babylon. Now, interestingly, just as the king of Tyre pictures the devil in this set of verses here, the city of Tyre pictures that false system and the city that Satan created in Mystery Babylon. Let's look at this in Ezekiel, in chapter 26 this time. If you go back, Ezekiel chapter 26, and beginning in verse 15. "Thus says the eternal God to Tyre, will the coastlands not shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of you? And all the princes of the sea will come down from their thrones and lay aside their robes and take off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment, and be astonished at you. And they will take up a lamentation for you and say to you, how you have perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men, O renowned city who was strong at sea, she and her inhabitants who caused their terror to be on all her inhabitants. And now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands by the sea are troubled at your departure. This sounds a lot like Revelation 18, doesn't it? For thus says the eternal God, when I make you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit to take the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate from antiquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited, and I shall establish glory in the land of the living. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you are sought for, you will never be found again, says the Eternal. And if we continue in chapter 27, verses 1 through 5, the word of the Eternal came again to me, to Ezekiel, saying, Now, son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyre, and say to Tyre, You who are situated at the entrance of the sea, merchant of the peoples on many coastlands, thus says the Eternal God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the midst of the seas. Your builders have perfected your beauty. They made all your planks of fir trees, and from Sinar they took a cedar from Lebanon to make you a mast. Oaks from Bashan, and they made your oars and the company of Yushurites and have inlaid your planks. And it speaks of all these beautiful, wonderful, beautiful things that were taken from various parts of the earth for her, to adorn her, to make her look as though she is beautiful and righteous and holy. But it's just all a facade. Look at verse 29 of this chapter. All who handle the oar, the mariners and the pilots of the sea, will come down from their ships and stand on the shore. They will make their voice heard because of you, and they will cry bitterly and cast dust on their heads. They will roll about in ashes. They will shave themselves completely bald because of you, gird themselves with sackcloth, and weep for you with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing for you, they will take up a lamentation and lament for you, saying, What city is like Tyre, destroyed in the midst of the sea? Again, sounding much like Revelation 18, saying, Who is like you, O great city? Verse 33, When your wares went out by the sea, you satisfied many people, speaking of her merchandising. You enriched the kings of the earth with your many luxury goods and your merchandise, but you are broken by the seas and the depths of the waters. Your merchandise and the entire company will fall in your midst. All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished by you. And this is talking about the different nations of the earth. All the inhabitants of the isles, the islands or nations around the world, will be astonished at you, and their kings will be greatly afraid, and their countenance will be troubled. And the merchants among the peoples will hiss at you. You will become a horror and be no more forever. And so you can see that this is uncanny when comparing it to the prophecies of Revelation 18. In fact, while writing the book Satan's Fate, I had researched the ancient city of Tyre and its king, and I discovered that the record of history does not account for the destruction of the king and the city of Tyre as described by Ezekiel in these chapters. The IVP background Bible commentary of the Old Testament states this, According to Josephus, the Babylonian siege of Tyre lasted 13 years. A Babylonian text claims that Nebuchadnezzar was present during the siege. Apparently, the long siege ended with a treaty stipulating that the Tyrian royal house was to be deported to Babylon. Although the king of Tyre was allowed to stay, he was under control of a Babylonian commissioner. The prince of Tyre was later discharged from his position, relieved of his trust, and publicly humiliated. And so Tyre was eventually taken by Nebuchadnezzar, and he plundered its goods, and he reduced the authority of its king. But the city was never completely destroyed, and the king was never burned to the ground. Even when Tyre was taken later by the Greeks, it was not entirely destroyed. And the reason I mention this is because Ezekiel was not entirely describing the king of Tyre, and he was not prophesying solely about the city of Tyre. Instead, he was foretelling of Satan's fate and the destruction of Satan's creation found in the mother of harlots, which is Mystery Babylon. And so, 250 years later, Alexander the Great conquered Tyre. Still, the city was not obliterated, and it remained a profitable seaport. In fact, Tyre still stands today. It's still an extension of the coast of Lebanon, and it's still a bustling harbor that is far from desolate. This is further evidence that God's words are true, and that the prophecies he has declared will come to pass. The bleak finality pronounced by God in Ezekiel chapters 26 through 28, they refer to Mystery Babylon, and they do refer to the devil. In the not-too-distant future, that corrupt system of rule and the false religious worship that she has propagated for thousands of years, that false worship that has influenced the nations, will finally be completely destroyed, and a new age, a new kingdom will be ushered in by the King of Kings, our Savior, the Messiah, who is the Son of God. And he will rule with his saints for 1,000 years.